hanging around people that like to be with Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Got some scripture I'm going to read. I'm going to try to follow the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be doing exactly what God wants us to do. First thing I want to do is apologize for something I did last Sunday. I got up here last Sunday and the Lord got a hold of me so much so that I had a hard time really getting slowed back down. And so much so, we had a missionary here and I absolutely forgot to take up a love offering for him. Church took care of that and I appreciate that. But I tell you folks, God got a hold of me last Sunday. And I really had a hard time getting kind of wound back down. But, you know, I praise God that you're in a place that you can feel the Spirit. I told them recently when they asked me to come preach a revival, I got more to preach. God's given me more than I know what to do with, okay? But there are times that I've went to preach places and it seemed like, you know, it was like this. And some of the preachers understand this. It's like when you're plowing with an air-conditioned John Deere tractor, everybody wants to plow. But when you hook up to a mule that don't want to do what you say, there's a whole lot of difference plowing. And sometimes that's the way preaching is when you're in a place where people don't want to hear it, where people don't want to be around it. But I'm glad I'm in a place, Brother Tom, that people love Jesus. And they want to worship. Now I want to share something with you, and this is a thought that came on my heart. And here's the question. This is the title. What can one person do? Here's what the devil's tried to tell me. He's tried to tell me, you're living in a time to where what do you really think, preaching the way you do, and acting the way you do, and doing the things you do in the church, what do you really think it matters? Do you really think it matters for you to serve God? Have you stopped to consider, and this is the devil talking, and he'll come to you. He'll say, do you stop and consider the onslaught of sin and the rampant acceptance of evil in this country and in the world? Do you really think it makes any difference for you as one preacher to get up and pour yourself out and to study and to spend your time? Oh, you know, I want to tell you something. Yes, I do. I do think it matters. But I want to tell you something, Sunday school teachers, WANA teachers, teachers of classes in this church, for those of you that have worked in this Wild Game Banquet, that have spent your time, that are here sometimes, and I know this is the way it is this time of the year, you can be up here 8 or 10 Saturdays in a row, and you can be serving God, and the devil, he'll come and he'll say, do you really think it's worth you spending all that time? That's the way he is. Now here's something else. Brother Tom, celebrate recovery on Monday night. Well, we're living in a time, folks, I want you to understand how bad the drug epidemic is. The drug epidemic in the United States, where overdoses on drugs is actually to the point that it's the second cause of death in the United States. The only thing that actually surpasses overdoses on drugs and drug-related deaths in this country right now is heart disease. And at the rate that the drug problem is growing, it will soon surpass the number one cause of death, which is heart disease. You know what the devil says? Does it make any difference if we go down there on Monday night and put forth the effort? I want to tell you something. It does, doesn't it, Miss Jennifer? Because God is still in the saving business. And he saved somebody here last night. Amen. We had somebody saved here last Sunday. You know, last year when we had the Wild Game Banquet, we had multitudes of people come to accept Christ. Some of those were here actually yesterday working. I want to tell you it matters. Now, I want to give you just a few things, and I want to move as quickly as I can. In the book of Jonah, I want you to consider a man, one man, that was called to preach a message. His name's Jonah. I want to read these two verses. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now here's what this is. This is one man called to preach a message. And the Lord told him to go down to that city and to preach a message. Now here's what people don't want to do, and here's what God said. He said, cry against it or preach against it because their wickedness is come up against me. Now Jonah, when he heard this, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do what God had called him to do, and he ran, from God. And he went and he got on a boat, and he was going down to a place, and when he got down there, the wind was tossed, and it was so much so that they realized God was against them, and they threw Jonah overboard. You ever thought about why he didn't want to go? It might have been because I want you to cry against it, and I want you to preach against it, because their wickedness has come up before me. And now here's something. I talked to a man about this yesterday. He was talking about he believed that God might be calling him to preach. And this is what I told him. I said, well, what you need to do is you need to run. You need to run, and you need to run as fast as you can. Because if you can run and you can get away with running, here's what I want you to understand. God has not called you to preach. It's just something you're thinking about. But if God wants you to do it, here's what's going to happen. He's going to get a hold of you. There's nowhere you can hide. There's nowhere you can go. Because it belongs to him, and you're going to end up doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Jonah, he got in that boat, and they threw him over the side. And sure enough, God had prepared a great fish. It come along, and it swallowed him up. Now, here's Jonah. He's inside of that fish. And I'll tell you what God has the ability to do is put us in a place that he can get us slowed down to speak to us to where we learn how to listen to him. Now, Jonah was eventually... he heard that second call. In the third chapter, the first through the third verse, it said, the word of the Lord came unto him the second time, saying, arise and get to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. The preaching, here's what he said, that I bid thee. In other words, when you go preach to them, you don't preach what you want to preach, but you preach what I tell you to preach. And you tell those people what I want you to tell them. And here's why God sends preachers. It's because God loves people, and God does not want people to go to hell. God does not want people to have a broken life. God does not want people to be ruined by the sin that's in this world. And he loves them. And he sent the word to them. Now here's the thing. When Jonah went the second time, now here's what I believe happened. Some people say, well, when they saw him, he had whitewashed skin, and he had seaweed, you know, hanging out of his hair. And when they looked at him, they said, well, look at him. God sent us something back from the dead. No, here's what happened. When he went in there, he was so obedient to God that the Holy Spirit fell on him. And when he preached and they saw him, they said, these words come from God. Now, here's what happened. A whole city was saved. A whole city. You know, I did a little book report with my son, and we did it. It was a research paper on Billy Graham. And we researched it. And I want to tell you something. I would have loved, Brother Tom, to get in the Coliseum and preach to 20,000 people. I would love to be able to go to Korea or to China to where if you get the opportunity to preach, I've heard this is how it is. You give the invitation, people come down, and they come not in ones or twos, but they come by the hundreds to accept Christ. And that's the way it was. That's the way it was a lot in Billy Graham's day. You know, but in mine and your day, sometimes we pray and we beg God for one. But I want to tell you, one matters. Here's what I want you to understand. What can one person do? God sent one man, Jonah, to go and preach to a city. You read the Bible says the whole city was saved. But Jonah had the problem that we were talking about at the very beginning. You know, sometimes we get to looking at ourselves, we get to looking at what's going on around us, and it got to the point that even Jonah, after God saved him, he was offended. I tell you what we ought to be doing is praising God. Now, I want you to look at one more. You find him in the book of Acts. We heard a man that was called to preach a message. But the second one I want you to look at is a deacon that was called to preach a message. You know, if you read the book of Acts, the Bible says when you call a deacon, he ought to be apt to teach. Okay? Now, they can be called to preach, and I know God's put a calling on my life. But I want to tell you something. Everybody has a testimony. And when we were talking to Brother John yesterday and I was praying for him, I was trying to encourage him. Church, I know you covered him in prayer. I have no doubt about that. And I was praying for him and I wanted to do everything I can to help him. You know, when he come down, here's what he said to me. He said, I just told him my story. And here's what I want you to understand. You say, well, I can't quote 100 verses. I don't know a lot about the Bible. Here's what you tell them. You tell them what God did for you. Because everybody here has got a story of what I used to be, but thank God what I am today by the touch of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, they call deacons. And I want to read this to you. I want you to see these names. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually unto prayer and the ministry of the word, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Now, it goes on, and it tells of some others, but, you know, if you know the story as it goes on, Stephen, he's preaching, and the people, he preached the word of God that God gave him. And you know what they did? And this may be why Jonah was afraid. He preached what God told him, and they stoned him to death. Well, immediately following Stephen being stoned, if you go over to the 8th chapter of Acts in verse number 5, Philip immediately picked up the baton. And he goes and he's doing the same thing. Now, you know, it immediately, here's what's peculiar to me about this story. It goes from Paul and Barnabas and those that are preaching till it starts to focus on the deacons that were called to serve, but how they were so filled with the Holy Spirit, everywhere they went, they were telling somebody about Jesus. Stephen Stone, Philip doesn't stop. He starts preaching. He starts teaching. And there's a man there through the 5th verse down through the 13th verse that he was a sorcerer, and he had the people in this community so deceived that they thought this sorcerer was from God. Peter goes down there and he starts preaching. You say, well, what can one person do? I'll tell you what one person filled with the Holy Spirit can do. They can follow God, be obedient to God, resist the devil, and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that only the Holy Spirit can do. And eventually, that entire community was saved. That sorcerer that had the people deceived, he was also saved. Whole community. But I want you to see something greater. Go down to the 26th verse. You know, I'd love to preach and see a whole city saved. And unfortunately, you know, in ministry and work, that's what some people want to do. They want their name on the sign, they want to be in the limelight, and they want to be the one. What if God says, go down yonder in the desert. There's one little boy down there that's calling on me. Look at the 26th verse. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, the 8th chapter, arise and go toward the south and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, big S, said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. Now, praise God. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that somebody was willing to teach my Sunday school class. I'm so thankful. I can remember when we had that revival down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, and my dad called that preacher to come preach. He was willing to come. He ran over to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, understandest thou what you readest? Or do you understand what you read? And here's what the eunuch said. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, here's something I said yesterday, and this is just something that's on my heart. I said, I believe that somebody's going to get saved here. But I tell you what I believe it's going to be. I believe it's going to be somebody that's going to say, would you help me? Would you guide me? Or would you show me what it means to know Christ? And that's what happened to that man. And but Philip had to be obedient to obey God and go down to the desert to talk to one. A lot of people aren't willing to do that. They'll say, I'll go. I remember saying, I'd love to preach. I'd love to preach to 20,000 people. I would. Had a preacher friend of mine, he went last Sunday night and he preached a message to a bunch of preachers. He said, there's probably 50 preachers there. Of course, you had their wives and some others. I thought, man, that'd be a different kind of message. But what about when God says, go talk to one? He sent him down to the desert and he got down there. And the place where the scripture says that he was reading, it's actually in Isaiah chapter number 56 and Isaiah chapter number 53. And here's what it says, and it's a quote, it's a reference from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. It says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Said, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or of some other? And Philip began to open his mouth and began to, in the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. Can I tell you there are people right now in Israel, and we talked about this a little bit last week with Daniel Collins, that are going to the Wailing Wall and they're praying and they're beating on it with their fist and they're clinging to the Old Testament and they read Isaiah 53 and they miss the fact that this is Jesus Christ. And it's a prophecy of Him coming. And the scripture said, after He preached it to him, they went on their way and they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10 and 9, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. And sometimes people say, well, I prayed that prayer, but I how do I know? I want to make sure. I want to know that I'm saved. We're not saved by our feelings. We're saved by truth. And if we accept the truth and we believe it in our heart, the devil don't have you anymore. Now look at this right here. The 38th verse said, he commanded the chariot to stand still. In Baptist, we like this. Here's what it said. They went down, both of them, into the water. Baptist doctrine right there. And he baptized him. And here's what I want you to understand. That man's life was changed. But look at the 39th verse. That mission was done. It says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. And here's what I want us to understand. God called Philip. He went down there. You know, we saw one preach to a city. What can one person do? Oh, we saw one preach to just one. What can one person do? Maybe the question is this. Not what can one person do, but let's turn it into a statement. What one person can do. Okay? Because here's what the enemy wants us to believe. You can't do it. We can't accomplish what we need to accomplish. I can remember one time I was on a job site and we were working on a church, and it's a different kind of church than this one. They don't preach what we preach here. In fact, it's one of them, when they pray, they say to the God who is there, who is nowhere, who is the God of the trees, the God of the flowers, the God who is in everything, but the God who is in nothing. It's one of those kind of churches. Guy tried to tell me, he said, Jesus didn't walk in 1985. I said, but the Bible says he's not changed. Now that was that many years ago, and here's what the enemy wants to say. What can we do for God in 2018? I'll tell you what we can do. Number one, we're going to remain committed. We're going to remain committed to the things of God. Look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. I love this. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One thing I liked that Brother John said last night, and I think about this sometimes. He said, there was times that I didn't understand everything my dad did. He said, but I understand it now. You know, when you're serving the Lord, what you're doing is not in vain. And what God wants us to do is be steadfast and endure. And here's what we have to endure through. Folks, we're going to have critics come against us. We're going to have conspirators that seem to prosper. We're going to have pressure that sometimes seems unbearable. There are going to be times we're tired. There are going to be times, brother, that we're just give out. But we'd have to just go like Jesus did. He had departed and went into a mountain, and he regained strength, and he came to fight again. But we're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep on, and we're going to press on. Because one person can do something. And I'll tell you this as Christians, how so? Here's why, because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. The Bible said it is the power of God unto salvation. I saw a preacher at this revival that I preached. I hadn't seen him in probably 30 years, maybe more than that. But I remembered him, and this is what I told him. I said, about 30 years ago, down at True Gospel Baptist Church, you preached a message, and this is what you preached on. You preached on, I am not afraid. And when he stood and he preached and he gave his testimony, he told of having circumstances in his life that absolutely broke him down to his knees to where, you know, and we deal with this, don't we? We have circumstances of life come against us. We deal with depression. We deal with trouble. He said, but I come to the point that I surrender to God, and I just like Peter, he said, step out on the water, and I handed the Lord my hand, and I've been walking with him ever since. Because we're not ashamed and we're not afraid. And the last one, praise God, as Christians, we are never alone. So we're going to remain committed. We're going to remain faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. When I was studying this, I came across some quotes from a great leader and a great spokesman, Winston Churchill. During World War II, and I want to tell you something, young people, I don't know if they're really giving you these quotes in school, but you need to look this man up and study about him. In October 29th, 1941, after the fall of Dunkirk, Winston Churchill went to the Harrow School, and these are the words, and this is something right here. You think about this as it relates to 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is what he said. He said, don't let us speak of darker days, but let us speak rather of sterner days. These are not dark days, but these are great days, the greatest days our country has ever lived. And we must all thank God that we have been allowed, each of us, according to our stations, to play a part in making these days memorable in the history of our race. Now here's what I have to say to the devil. I believe the Lord brought us here. I believe the Lord brought Hiram First Baptist Church here for such a time as this, that we could stand and be a lighthouse and a soul-saving station so that when people outside those doors need a place that they can come and find real sanctuary, to find a real Lord that'll save them, we'll be here. Church, we are here for such a time as this. Amen? And listen to this one. What can we do? What can one person do? Remain with Christ. In John chapter 21, the Lord told Peter in the 15th verse, he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. You know, in the 15th verse through the 17th verse, said, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, sometimes what God wants us to do, if we're going to reflect Him and be His hands and His feet and serve Him, He wants us to love regardless. Can you imagine Peter trying to argue with the Lord and say, but Lord, sheep bite. Sometimes sheep are dirty. Sometimes these sheep, they're ungrateful. And maybe even say this, sometimes they don't deserve. And before he can finish, his heart is pricked. You know, because all of us are sheep. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And what God wants us to do is love and serve. And we do it not because of people, not because of rewards, but we do it because of Him. And because of what He did for us. I have a quote from Oswald Chambers. It says, if you are devoted to the cause of humanity, you will soon be exhausted and have your heart broken by ingratitude. But if the mainspring of your service is love for Jesus, you can serve men although they treat you as a doormat. Never look for justice in this world, but never cease to give it. You see, because what you do for God, it matters. And I want to tell you something. When somebody mistreats you or somebody doesn't appreciate you, you pray for them. You keep praying for them. When somebody doesn't want to hear what you have to say and you're serving God, I want to tell you the greatest thing that can happen for me is not for them to get theirs. That's not it. But for me to have the opportunity to see them come in and God deal with their heart and be able to pray with them, there's no vengeance that's worth missing the opportunity to see somebody get what they need from God. You see, if we remain with Christ and we serve Him, we do it for Him because He did it for us. Ask Him to get ready with a song as you come. I want to leave you with these thoughts. What promise do we have from God for enduring? And you think about this. On this earth, what did Winston Churchill say to the people after the Battle of Dunkirk? He said, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. People don't want to hear that. That's why Jonah said, I don't want to leave where I'm at and go down there to those people and preach that message that you gave me. They may kill me. They may reject me. What about Philip? I'm seeing all these people saved here and you want me to go to the desert for one? But to borrow from Paul, what about this on our gravestone? Not in vain. Not in vain. But what about this on our crown? To borrow from the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. You see, because everything you do for God, it matters. Everything this church has done in the past week, preparing for what's happened over here, it matters. And it didn't just matter for yesterday. I want to tell you something, the devil's a liar. God has got greater things, and there are people right now that God is dealing with their heart because of what happened yesterday. Next Saturday, when we come in here, God is going to speak to somebody's heart. When we come in here tomorrow night, Brother Tom, there may be somebody that's on the verge of death that we'll be able to snatch as a brand, as it says, out of the fire. We're not going to quit. We're going to press on. I ask you to rise to your feet as they get ready to play.